You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 105. Jason is actually out for this episode, so we're just going to have a conversation here with me answering a question that we received from Salem. And Salem asked the question, how were people in the Old Testament saved? This is a great question. It comes up fairly often, actually. A lot of people have this question because if you've studied your Bible at all or have been around the church at all, you know, obviously, that there was a lot of animal sacrifice that went on in the Old Testament temple. Some people believe that that is the way that the issue of sin, the issue of reconciliation with God was addressed and dealt with. Other people say, no, it's not that. It's salvation in the Old Testament was based in the law. The people who followed the covenant between the Lord and his people. And both of these are actually incorrect. While they are common lines of thinking, they're actually not the way people were saved in the Old Testament. So what the Bible teaches us actually is that people are saved by grace through the work of Jesus Christ as a result of faith. So this is the same in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament. People have always been saved by faith through grace based on the work of Christ on the cross. How does this work out then with the Old Testament when obviously Jesus had yet to come? And I want to do two things, you know, briefly in sort of beginning this discussion. The first is to remind us sort of the arc, the storyline of the Bible, right? The storyline of what we have in our Old and New Testaments. And so the story begins with, you know, God as the creator in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, of course, God goes on to create all things that are in the universe. God creates all the animals and the plants and the order of the cosmos and the universe itself. Everything comes into being by the word, the ruach, the speech of God, bringing all of this into motion. And then, of course, God creates man and woman as well. He creates Adam and Eve. You know, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so he made them male and female. In the image of God, he made them. And their purpose was to rule and reign in this new creation that God made. They were to take care of it. They were to be good stewards of all that God created. And yet, they were allowed to have and engage with everything in this creation that God had made, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if they ate from it, they would die. Well, of course, you know the story if you know your Bible. By Genesis chapter 3, what happens? Eve was deceived by the serpent and she ate. And of course, Adam ate as well. And the result was sin and death was brought into the world. They're actually kicked out of that garden God created, and no longer do they encounter. So they get kicked out of the garden and end up, you know, having these curses, the curses of sin brought into the world. You know, they have to labor now to create in this, you know, world that the Lord created. But even with all this, there's always that promise. You know, God tells them in Genesis chapter 3 that there will be the one, the from the womb of the woman, there will be the one who ultimately he gets struck in the heel by the serpent, but he crushes the head of the serpent, that there is this one coming that will deal with the reality of sin and death. You know, and this promise continues all throughout the Old Testament. There's the promise of, you know, in Isaiah, it's the branch man, you know, the one that grows out of the stump that will bring the new life, the eternal life, the one who finally will deal with the reality of sin and death. You know, this promised Messiah, as it grows and develops all throughout the Old Testament, we come to clearly see who and what this is. And then, of course, the full revelation comes to bear in the New Testament as we get to meet Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, God, very God, who took on flesh, fully God and fully man, and went to the cross for the sins of all humanity. So that's sort of the overview of the arching story, very brief. It's obviously way, way more in detail than that, way, way more promise of Messiah than that. I mean, he promised to Abraham, he promised to David, he promised, you know, God promised so much through even the prophets that there would be Messiah, that he would come, and deal with all of this. And so first of all, we'll deal with the question of, can we be saved through the law? Does the law save us? The answer is actually no. The law actually only reveals for us how desperate our need. The law reveals for us the fact that we need Messiah, that in fact we violate the perfect law of God even more than we believe we do. You know, most people believe that they're pretty good people. Most folks believe they're pretty good folks. I mean, if you ask most average people, they're like, well, yeah, I mean, we're pretty good. We're decent people. And then you come to the revelation of the law of God, which actually argues the complete opposite. We are not good people. We are not in line with the law of God. We are not in line with the purpose of God. And that's very clear. So the law actually, all it does is show us even more clearly how sinful we are. I mean, think of, for example, Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 5, where he's dealing with the reality of comparing the first Adam and the new Adam in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about this reality with the law. You drop down to verse 20 of chapter 5 in Romans, and it says, the law came along to multiply trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pointing to the reality that the law doesn't deal with the problem of sin. In fact, it is impossible for us to live up to the standards of God, of a holy God. We cannot live up to the law. I have run into people on occasion that will tell you, oh, we keep the law of God. And sadly, unfortunately, they turn out to be human just like the rest of us, which is broken, sinful people. They cannot live in line with the law, cannot live up to God's standard of holiness. And in fact, nobody can do that. In fact, you know, the Bible tells us again in Romans, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one that is righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks after God, not even one. We have all sinned. We are dead in sin, as, you know, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, or Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. You know, this is the nature and state of humanity. We cannot be and justify ourselves through good works through the law. We just cannot. In fact, in the book of James, it says that if we've even violated one law, we're guilty of all the laws. And so the reality is, if we fail to be perfectly holy as God is in even one way, then we are unable to save ourselves. And of course, none of us can, in fact, to live up to that standard. So no, we see that the law cannot save us through the law. In fact, the law is not there to save us. The law is there to show us that we desperately are in need of a savior. So it's not there to save us. It's there to show us that we cannot be saved of our own will, of our own power, of our own volition. Cannot happen. The law is there to reveal our desperate need for a savior. So we can count that one out. Does the law save us? The answer is no, absolutely not. The other thing is the question, does animal sacrifice save us? This is one of those things that some people believe. Yes, the animal sacrifice was exactly how people were saved in the Old Testament. And here's what the Bible has to say about that. An example is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. It says, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the actual form of those realities, it can never perfect the worshiper by the same sacrifice they continually offer year after year. Otherwise, wouldn't they have stopped being offered? Since the worshiper, once purified, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in the sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every single year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Uh-oh, this is a problem. Hebrews is making very clear that this sacrifice that is presented through bulls and goats, this offering of animals, is not sufficient to deal with human sin. In fact, it cannot solve sin. It points us to the reality of sin, right? It reminds us that our sin is serious and that our sin has a cost, but it doesn't result in new life. It doesn't result in change. It doesn't result in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can rule that out. It's not the law that justifies us or saves us. It is not the sacrifice of goats and bulls, the animal sacrifices. Those do not save us. So then what does save us? Now we know what does not save us. What does save us? Well, the Bible speaks to that very clearly. And this is where we started off with, you know, in answering this question, how are we saved? We are saved through grace by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is the same way in the Old Testament for the Old Testament folks as it is for us in the New Testament, in the new new full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do we see that? Well, think back to Genesis chapter 15. You know, God was speaking to Abraham. God was revealing his plan and his purpose for Abraham. In fact, for the people, for the nation that would come from Abraham. These people were the means by which the entire world would be blessed. And of course, we know, and God fully fleshes out what that blessing to the world would be. And that's the coming of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And it says, this is really important, in verse 6 of chapter 15 of Genesis, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Abraham believed. He had faith, and the result was righteousness. So that sounds a lot like the salvation that we talk about in the New Testament, which is by faith through the grace of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do we see any more of that? Well, yeah. I mean, look at Habakkuk chapter 2. And God is speaking, he's promising a coming redemption, right? A coming freedom for the people. And he says in verse 4, but the righteous one will live by faith. The righteous one will live by faith. And the Apostle Paul talks about, he picks this up in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. or verse even 16, start there, say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek, for in it God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So Paul is pointing back to Habakkuk chapter 2. He's pointing to what the prophet had to say in that text in responding to this question, how are we saved? It is through the righteousness. It has always been through faith, in based on the work of Christ on the cross. So faith in God for the promised Messiah in the Old Testament, and then of course faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the full fulfillment of that promise in the New Testament. So literally, exactly saved by faith, the exact same way. It's just the knowledge of that faith is more complete in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, it's that shade or the shadow, that promise, that vision, that picture. And even Paul points to this in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Romans. He says, which he promised long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Right, he started off by saying, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and singled out for God's good news, his good news, which he promised long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So Paul's saying it's the same message. This is the message that was proclaimed in the Old Testament. This is the thing, the God for which our faith has always rested. It has always been salvation that was going to be born and brought about through the Lord Jesus Christ, through God, very God, who took on flesh and went to the cross for our sins. In fact, the Old Testament is just full of this reality that it is by faith that we are saved. It is by the work of God exclusively that saves us. I mean, think back to Isaiah 43, 10 and 11. You know, Yahweh says, "I am Yahweh the Lord, and there was no God before me, there will be no God after me. I am Yahweh alone, and I alone save." It is God alone who saves us. It has always been God alone who saves us. Old Testament, New Testament, it is by faith, through grace, based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. This is what the Word of God teaches. And in fact, this is brought even more fully about later, as you go on in that passage in Hebrews chapter 10, he makes this even more clear. In verse 8, he says, after he says above, you did not want or delight in sacrifices or offerings or whole burnt offerings and sin offerings, which is offered according to the law, he then says, see, I have come to do your will. He will take away the first to establish the second. By this will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Every priest stands day after day ministering and offering the same sacrifice time after time, which can never take away sins. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He is now waiting until his enemies are his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. The Holy Spirit also testifies to this. For after he says, this is the covenant I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts and write them on their minds. He adds, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts. Now where there is forgiveness of those, there is no longer the offering for sin. So it's complete. It's done. The work of Christ is done. The work he did on the cross was sufficient, was complete, and is proven. That statement of Jesus, "It is finished," when he's on the cross, is proven by his very bodily resurrection, proving what he's already declared about himself, right? John chapter 11, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He has the power over life and death. He was able to deal with sin, and the proof of that is the fact that Jesus was fully, completely, bodily resurrected. So don't think that there has ever been a different way upon which salvation comes. Don't think that anybody has ever been saved by a different means, by a different method. This is really important, especially in our day and age, because there are so many false gospels, there are so many false gods, there are so many other ways, quote unquote, that are presented to us. And even leaving a little bit of room to say, oh, the people in the Old Testament were maybe saved a different way than the people in the New Testament, leaves room for, well, maybe there are other ways. Maybe there are other paths. Maybe there is other ways to salvation. And yet God himself declares that to not be the case. I mean, think of John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is nobody who comes to the Father but through me." There is never another way. There was never another salvation. Jesus exclusively alone. We are saved by faith through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is never something we earned. It is never something we deserved. It is never something we will deserve. It is only by faith that we are saved. It is only by faith that Abraham was saved. It is only by faith that all the saints in all of human history have been saved by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the Hall of Faith chapter, really drives this home, you know, speaking to all those saints who went before, all those saints who were saved by faith. They are the ones, they were saved by faith, and yet they died not fully having seen the fulfillment of the promise. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, "These all died in faith without having received the promise, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on earth." Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, and they would have an opportunity to return, but they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It is by faith all these people, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Sarah, and all the other saints in the Old Testament, David, everybody in the Old Testament was saved exclusively by faith through grace based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.